Good evening and welcome to the Business of Government Hour, Conversations with Government Leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. The endowment was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour focuses on outstanding government executives who are changing the way government does business. Our special guest tonight is Dr. Thomas Garthwaite, Acting Undersecretary for Health at the Veterans Health Administration. Recently, the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment published two reports on the VHA. The first called Transforming Government, the Revitalization of the Veterans Health Administration, and the second, Transatlantic Experiences in Health Reform, the UK's National Health Service, and the U.S. Veterans Health Administration. Tonight, we want to find out more about the VHA's transformation and reform. Welcome, Dr. Garthwaite.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here.
And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Greg Greven. Welcome, Greg.
Good evening.
Well, Dr. Garthwaite, as Acting Undersecretary for Health, you're the Chief Executive Officer of the VHA, the nation's largest integrated healthcare system. Can you tell us about the VHA?
Sure. The VA is strikingly large. It has a budget of about $19 billion, provides healthcare to veterans through approximately 180,000 staff, 172 medical centers, over 650 ambulatory care and community-based clinics, 134 nursing homes, 40 domiciliaries, 206 readjustment counseling centers, and various other facilities. In addition to its medical care mission, we provide a significant amount of graduate medical education, and it's said that over half of the doctors in America have had some part of their training in a VA facility. In addition, we're one of the nation's largest research organizations and do approximately $1 billion in combined research across the country. And finally, we back up the Department of Defense and the National Disaster Medical System in times of emergency.
Your career with VA is quite long, dating back to 1976. What changes have you observed in the 25 years?
I even did a little bit of my residency training in VA, so it goes back slightly further than that. It's interesting to think about all the changes in medicine during that time and the changes in VA. Clearly, the VA used to be predominantly an inpatient healthcare system. And over the last 20 years, but especially in the last 5 years, we've moved significantly to provide a significant amount of care in the outpatient setting. At one time, about 30-some percent of our surgical procedures were done in an outpatient setting. We're closing in on 80% of our surgical procedures as an outpatient. We've gone through changing reimbursement schemes. When DRGs came in the private sector and Medicare in the mid-80s, about a year after that, the VA adopted a reimbursement scheme. Was originally called Resource Allocation Model, became known as RAM. And it worked variably well, I think, throughout in the VA, but ultimately kind of pushed us to do too much with too little. We were just dividing up a fixed pie. We've gradually emerged to a reimbursement scheme that mirrors managed care. We used a larger population-based capitation model, and that has allowed us to move some dollars around the system and put it more appropriately where veterans live. We certainly had to adapt to the use of technology, and that's constant across all of healthcare. A unique part of the VA, I think, has been the emergence of health services research in VA. And what we've done in the last few years is try to push health service researchers to communicate better with managers. You know, managers make a lot of very important decisions and control a lot of dollars and do that with relatively imprecise data often, data that's not subject to statistical scrutiny. Health services researchers carefully analyze the data, design experiments, apply rigorous statistics, publish it in a journal, and often it sits in the journal for many years before anyone acts upon it. We didn't think that either of those was the ideal state. We really thought that managers should use as much statistical and an analytical rigor as researchers, and we didn't think researchers should find out important things and not have them acted upon. And we've really worked hard to drive together health service research and management and have several major initiatives along that regard. Another thing we've done that I've noticed changing dramatically in the VA has been the emphasis on prevention. years ago, I think we waited until the end of a disease and we came in with tubes and scalpels and tried to save the patient at the end stage of an illness. Last year, we had immunization rates approaching 90% for pneumonia and influenza. And we believe that in patients who have lung disease and who are elderly, that every time we give a shot, we not only save lives and prevent hospitalizations, we save $294 with each shot we give. So there's a dramatic evolution from care at the end of a disease towards care across, all the way from detection and prevention of disease, all the way through more aggressive treatment. And the final thing that's, I think, really dramatically different in the years that I've been in the VA is the emergence of information systems. And the VA has really been a leader in information systems dedicated to patient care. You know, we didn't have to bill for many years. So in the private sector, the computer systems were developed and maintained primarily around billing. Since we weren't billing, we developed and maintained them primarily around the delivery of health care. And if you think about it, ultimately, the most effective and efficient and the highest quality way to deliver health care would be supported by good informatic systems around the process of delivering care. So I think we're a little ahead there. Unfortunately, we've had to begin to bill, and so we're catching up with the private sector in how to bill. But I think we're ahead in how to use computers to deliver care.
You served as the chief operating officer of VHA during the greatest period of transformation in the organization's history. Could you tell us about the challenges and the results of this transformation?
If you can imagine walking into probably the second largest bureaucracy in the United States government, over at the time we had 205,000 employees and ran a system that was largely centralized, that is, policy came from Washington. And although we got originally, I think, had some input from advisory groups in Washington, a lot of this was centrally driven policies. When Dr. Kaiser came in and I joined him as his deputy, one of the key underlying tenets of the reorganization and transformation of VA was to decentralize. We believe that although the broadest policies had to be set in Washington, the implementation of those policies almost certainly has to occur much closer to where the action is out in the field. And although we can see the major policy decisions, the implementation would be quite different in the Bronx than it might be in Boise. And so that was really a challenge. And to do that, we reorganized into 22 networks. And each network then was responsible for not just the facilities, but the people, the population we were covering within those geographic areas. That's really a critical change as well. In the past, it was competing facilities, each trying to have all the programs that were possible in medicine, each trying to have the tertiary care, each trying to have the latest and greatest technology. But what was missing was the coordination of care and the preventive medicine, the primary care for the rest of that population before they needed that tertiary care. And so in the end, what we were able to do was to refocus all of our staff on the concept that it is really about that population, not about the facilities. And I don't say we're 100% there today, but we've come an awful long way. And that is really one of the fundamental tenets. That also changed us from specialty care to primary care. It changed us from inpatient care to outpatient care. It changes from end-of-disease care to prevention. So it had dramatic effects just going from a facility-based organization to a population-based organization. The key to the real key to the change, I think, in making it all happen was the use of performance measurement. And the use of performance measurement did several things for us. One, it forced us to have conversations about what's most important, what the real goal is. Secondly, it forced us to then say what would be a measure of that. And third, it said what kind of progress have we made? And it gave us an opportunity to chart our progress towards those goals. So I think more than anything else, performance measurement really led to the dramatic changes we've seen.
Interesting. Well, it's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.